Sid Croft, we were lucky enough to meet last year before Planet Comic-Con Kansas City, which did like an untold. It was the largest number of people ever assembled inside Bartle Hall. They'd never sold it out before. This was by far the largest assembly over 3 days that Bartle Hall has ever seen. And one of those participants that flew in was Sid Croft. Sid and Marty Croft, you need to be of a certain age to remember the original viewing. You can find it all online, but these are the guys who created some of the weirdest, most fun parts of a childhood, from Land of the Lost to Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, from H.R. Puffin stuff to the Banana Splits and the Bugaloos. It just goes on and on. And so normally you kind of want the act. You want Holly from Land of the Lost, right? You want a certain person from a certain thing. You want Henry Winkler as the Fonz from Happy Days. You don't normally get thinking about, oh, I'd like to have the writer on. You know, although Gary Marshall was incredible.
Loved him.
But when Sid Croft walked in and he started to talk, by the end of that day, there wasn't anybody in the room who wasn't absolutely in love with him.
Born July 30th in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, our next guest got his start in show business as a puppeteer and vaudeville performer. But starting in the late 60s, alongside his brother Marty, they ruled Saturday mornings, creating such legendary shows as The Banana Splits, H.R. Puffin Stuff, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, The Land of the Lost, and many, many more. As well as being the guiding forces behind variety shows for Donnie and Marie and the Brady Bunch. And today he's here to talk about his new Instagram TV show, Sundays with Sid. Please welcome true television legend, Sid Croft.
Mr. Sid Croft, how are you, my friend?
Oh, my God. I'm great. You know, I didn't sleep last night because I was so excited that I was coming on your show. I have to tell you something, Johnny.
Yes.
I've been in this business 84 years, and I'm still working. I'm going to be 95 years old. I cannot believe it at the end of this month. And, you know, every Sunday I go on Instagram, and my name, you got to look me up. I'm Sid Croft, Kroft. You got to follow me and watch my shows because I've got every week I come on with a different star or someone so interesting. And it's been exciting for me, Johnny, because I had 30 years before all the shows that you talked about.
Right.
There were 26 television shows. You know, Marty, my brother, he did the business, and that was cool because, boy, I was my cup was always full, and I was the creative guy of all that madness.
Yeah.
And everybody listening out there, if you don't know who the hell I am and you never heard of any of those shows, ask your grandma or ask your mom. I promise you she grew up or your dad, you know, because you talk about Kansas City. Oh, it was so exciting to come there because the first time I came to Kansas City, I guess in a horse and buggy because it was 1946 and with the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus as the world's youngest puppeteer. That's how I started as a puppeteer.
Well, your son, your dad recognized your talent as in his son, you, and you were only 10 years old at the time you started to jump into this. And by the time you were 16 years old, he turned you loose to go with. And especially, guys, you have to remember this. At the time, the Barnum and Bailey, you know, Ringling Brothers Circus, there was nothing that drew more attention in the United States of America, if not the world. There would be a parade. They would unload the elephants and the animals from the train, and they would march down Main Street, and thousands of peoples would show up. People would show up, and then there'd be a big top, and they'd do a week. And it was It was an event unlike any other. And
well,
so,
you know, school closed, the banks closed.
Yes.
It was a holiday.
Yes.
You know, there were 1,800 performers. And we traveled with 50 elephants, not three or four,
yeah,
and 150 horses. The menagerie, Johnny, a menagerie that was bigger than any zoo in America. Imagine coming to Kansas City with a giraffe or a hippo or Mr. and Mrs. Gargantua. They were huge gorillas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just so amazing. The Big Top, nobody believes this, the Big Top held 15,000 people.
It's crazy. You know, crazy.
15,000, that's like Madison Square Garden that they put up. And we would only stay no more than 2 days.
Oh.
And always sold out. But I wasn't in the Big Top. I was in the freak show, you know, in the sideshow as the world's youngest puppeteer. Because I was pulling in families. They were afraid to bring their kids, you know, into the sideshow. They were the runovers or whatever you call them, you know, because it was always sold out. And there were, on the Midway, all day long, there were just thousands and thousands and thousands of people that couldn't get in to the circus. But then I came back to Kansas City because it was crazy. You know, I didn't even remember that I did vaudeville there. And I found out that the vaudeville theater still stands. I can't remember the name of it.
Was it the Midland? It was good. The Midland Theater.
I worked there with George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Jesus Christ! Jesus Christ! You guys, if you don't know who that is, look it up. But let me go backwards a little bit, Sid. So you were traveling in the freak show as a 16-year-old puppeteer, and you're talking.
No,
about
I was only 15.
15.
And it's not. You know, you said something earlier. My dad didn't recognize anything about what I was doing. The only thing he was interested in is the money, because he wasn't working.
Yeah.
So my dad, you know, when I auditioned for the circus in New York, I didn't even know. I never saw a circus. I read an ad that said they're looking for novelty acts for the sideshow. I thought, oh, my God, that must be like vaudeville or something. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I went down in the basement in Madison Square Garden. They were still in rehearsal because they would play there for a month, then go to Boston, and then we went under the Big Top. And I joined the circus a year after the big fire where, I don't know, thousands of people died, you know?
Well, this is during the Depression, right? I mean, between, what year did you start at the Ringling Brothers?
That was 46.
Okay,
I was born 46.
During the Depression.
I think I said I'm 95 years old earlier. You know, I do have senior moments, but they come and go. Okay, so anyway, I got to tell you that I was born in 29. That was 29. The Big Depression.
That's right. So the first 10
and
years
I was
of your
born
life.
In Canada, and I didn't realize until a few years ago when I read all about it that Canada was more devastating than America in the Depression. I was too young, but I know that they were standing in line for soup, you know?
Yeah.
And it was devastating. But, Johnny, I got to go back to your show. You know, in my career, I have done, I don't know, probably 1,000 or more interviews. And I always hated doing them because, you know, they give you 2 or 3 minutes. And, you know, on maybe a new show. And they just ask you the same questions. And they don't even realize my background, you know, and And when I was on your show, the minute I stepped into the building, and the vibes were so incredible. And when I came upstairs and we started, it was also like really early in the morning, right? So I had to get up. Jesus, you've been waking me up at 6 o'clock many times. And I got to tell you, your staff, I just the feeling in that room. And I know I was explosive because you gave me the opportunity, because most people don't know how I got there. You know, they don't know the 30 years before Puff and Stuff and, you know, the Banana Splits and all that stuff that we did, you know, Donnie Marie and,
Barbara Mandrell.
And it just, the list is huge. It's, and it's all series on three. We were on all three networks.
Yeah, well,
you know,
one of the things I love, and sorry to interrupt, Sid, but the thing I loved about you as soon as I met you was this history and exactly what you're talking about. I'm still stuck back on your traveling with a freak show, General Tom Thumb or the Bearded Lady, or P.T. Barnum himself was the guy who said, this one, we're taking Sid Croft. P.T. Barnum, the P.T. Barnum.
Well, he was already dead. They died.
Was he?
They died in the 1800s.
Oh, well, goddamn.
And the circus was run by the mafia. And talk about the mafia. I came back to Kansas City and played. I didn't remember. You know, because this week I'm going to have somebody on, one of my biggest fans on the planet, and he changed his name. This is so bizarre. To Crofty. That's his name, Crofty.
Wow.
And he knows more than I do because I moved so rapidly from city to city. When I played the Vaudeville Theater, you know, in Kansas City, it was with George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Yes.
I mean, listen to that. You know, I mean, I worked. If you just throw out any star in Hollywood, I mean, when there were huge, huge stars, it was a whole different world in the 40s and the 50s. Because the movies, you know, just...
Oh, yeah, James Dean, Doris Day, Jane Russell, Marilyn Monroe, Sinatra.
I met them all.
Yeah.
I met them all of them.
Dean Martin. I can tell
you a story about Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, you know, and I'm just so full of stories. And the reason I went on Instagram is because when we got our star on the Walk of Fame, right in front of Funko, in front of Funko, because they pay, you know, to get a star, everybody out there, it costs like $55,000. So usually the studio or someone else pays for it. That's a lot of bucks, you know?
Sure.
And it's also one of the great honors of all time to have a star on the Walk of Fame.
Yes.
And, you know, and it, I don't know who put our name in there, but it, I know it took years for our name to come up and have us get a star. Okay. But I always thought, like, it blew me away because I always thought there were 900 people. And Funko said, no, you're totally wrong. There were 2,000 people around the block, you know, and they kept saying to me, the Chamber of Commerce, the lady that runs that whole thing, only do 2 minutes. I said, oh, I'm not going to do 2 minutes.
Right, of course.
Give me a minute for every 10 years. I've been in this business 83 years.
That's right. We just got
our star right before COVID. We were the last ones to get it. It was just the most amazing day, you know. And we also got a lifetime achievement.
I love this.
Come on, they only gave 45 of them,
yeah.
you know.
Let me interrupt for a second, Sid. This is Sid.
It's all about me. What do you mean? what are you talking about?
I want to reintroduce you. Sid Croft is with us today, and he's a dear friend. And he was here at Planet Comic Con, which was the largest group that has ever been in Bartle Hall. Nobody has ever sold more tickets than Planet Comic Con. It just happened last year. And Sid, that's how we met. He came in the studio. Now, Sid and Marty Croft started at stuff that we all grew up with Land of the Lost, Sigmund of the Sea Monsters, H.R. Puffin stuff, Banana Splits, but stuff that I didn't know. Like, you put goddamn Richard Pryor, you guys built a children's show with the bluest comic of all time. Like, he was, Richard Pryor. And
No, he was the biggest comedian in the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys touched, and this is what I loved about everything you did. Like, we laugh about the drug references and the colors and the craziness and the psychedelic stuff that you were doing.
And I got away with it.
Yes.
I mean, that was for little kids. I got to tell you something. Of course, H.R. Puffin stuff, it's my child, because it was really like the big show for us, because the Banana Splits, I designed and created the characters, the Banana Splits for Hanna-Barbera. We didn't produce that show. That's the show that got us onto television, because Fred Silverman, who was the head of programming, he used to come every day, because they said they're investing a lot of money in the Banana Splits. And is it going to work? They'd come to our show business factory, where we built them and put our puppeteers inside the suits.
Yep.
To show them that it's going to work, because I did that in all my puppet shows, at Six Flags for 9 years for Coca-Cola. And so anyway, he said, "You are totally insane."
Yeah,
He said, "Come up with an idea, and I know we're going to buy it for Saturday morning." And Puffin Stuff came from a puppet show at the San Antonio World's Fair, and for the Coca-Cola Company. It was in the Coca-Cola Pavilion, and we did 9 to 12 shows a day. It was 25 minutes. And that character looked a little different, but all the other characters were in that show. It was a big musical. It was an epic.
Yeah, Witchy Pooh, Freddie the Flute, H.R. Puffin stuff.
She was called Miss Witch in show.
Right.
Then, I had to give her and Puffin Stuff was called, he was a cowboy, because I'm in Texas with cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. And I thought it would be hysterical to call him Luther,
You guys are all high.
And so he became the symbol of the fair, of the whole fair.
That's hilarious.
Now, I got to tell you, as I sit here, I've had the most incredible, incredible career. I'm still working. And when you mention Land of the Lost, it's the 50th anniversary this year. Land of the Lost.
Oh, and seeing you with Holly, the actress that played Holly, and just the love between you guys, and because you live something that people will never know. They'll never understand that when you did Land of the Lost, there were 3 networks and maybe 4, depending on your neighborhood, it was beyond big. It was beyond tens and hundreds. I mean, we're talking about 50, 60 million viewers. Like, No.
In those days, like even the Brady Bunch Hour, it got a rating. It was like the Olympics.
Yeah.
There were only 3 networks. The Fox hadn't come yet, I don't think.
ABC, CBS, and NBC.
And we were on. They used to bid. I'd go in every year, sit on the floor. The executives would sit around. I had an art book that we would do with all the characters. I'd sit on the floor, and there are all the executives, adults, and I would tell them a story with my characters, because nobody reads to this day.
Right.
It's crazy. And to get back to my Instagram show.
Yeah.
That only started, I don't know, 3.5, whatever, years ago. And, you know, I've got 51,000+ followers. But those followers, when I go on Sunday, they're in Brazil and New Zealand and Canada. They used to be in Russia. They don't have Instagram anymore. You know, all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, and you get good guests. Adam Carolla, Dita Von Teese, like Corey Feldman came
by. Wait, Adam Carolla, I was on his show because Adam Carolla said for years that terrible things about Croft.
Why?
And, you know, that it was all crap and, you know, and how did they, those guys, get to go so far? And so I was asked to come on his show because he thought, and his whole staff thought, that we were going to have a fight, you know, that I was going to let, I got on and I agreed with him, you know, and that show, I was on a couple of times, I became the guest of the year.
Of course.
And he's got, the president, and I don't know, he's got guests, huge guests on his show. But everybody, you got to tune in on Sunday because it's fun.
Yep.
I don't have a piece of paper. I don't have a piece of paper in front of me right now. I got to tell you, Johnny, I never thought that I could do this because I didn't like doing interviews. I really didn't. Yeah, the only Comic-Con that we went to for 50 years, every year, just to do a panel. You know, and each year I'd walk out and, oh, my God, and I'd think, who's going to be here? Why are they coming and standing against the walls in this big theater? You know, they've already heard stories for 50 years. When, the first year we did it, there were 500 people came to Comic-Con. I don't know. Now a 500,000 or...
Sure.
It's insane, man.
Listen, Sid,
and even in Kansas City, you kept saying there were 70,000 people.
There was. A day.
70.
A day.
I mean, I never saw anything like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people come up to get my autograph for their dad or their mom, and I always say, are they here? And they say... No, my grandma, whatever, she's in the hospital. And, you know, promoters don't like me doing this, but I do it all day long. I said, well, will they take a phone call?
Ah, you're so
good. And they said,
you're so good.
Why? I said, because I want to talk to them. No. And they start crying, right? And they always, it's the same routine. But I say, don't tell them who's calling. Someone wants to talk to you. Promise me. And so they hand me the phone, and I hear a voice. Hello? And I said, it's Sid Croft. Who? They always say, who? I said, Sid Croft. No! Oh, my God. I said, you know, I hope those are happy tears because I wanted to call you and thank you for being such a long time fan, you know, remembering all my shows because that was so many years ago, you know, and I do that all day long. I don't charge extra or anything like that.
I'm going to interrupt you again, Sid, because I want to point out that it's so rare in this world. I've done this for 30 plus years now. It is so rare in this world to meet a true creative, a guy whose entire brain, and that's the thing that, listen, we're not going to ever do an interview, you and I. We're going to have a talk, and the microphones are going to be on, and wherever the conversation goes is where it's going to goddamn go, because that's what I think is the most interesting thing. But you are a guy from the very time I believe you were born. You have a different brain. You're constantly considering what's entertaining, how it makes people feel, what could be funny, what would be an interesting idea, whether you're working in, you know, putting a show together in front of children at an amusement park or a television show or a movie, whether you're working with puppets or people, you are everything you do. Like, that's the whole point of your Instagram on Sundays.
Yeah, but I'm also insane.
Yes.
Okay.
That's,
I mean, you better add that in there.
But that's the good, that's the best part of you. That's the best part of all of us. Dude, somehow, some way, you managed to transition from childhood into your adulthood at 94 years, and it's all still intact. All your imagination, all the want to, all the...
Yeah,
like you
the head is
people.
Still working. Yeah. I'm so grateful when I wake up every single morning. And Johnny, you got to come on my show. Come on.
Yes, sir. Anytime. I told you.
No, come
on. I will.
You got to do that. And I got to tell you something about you. You came to see me at the Comic-Con in Kansas City on Sunday. I'll never forget it. But I was really, really pissed because everybody started gathering around you. Kansas City is
You're so full of it. You are so full of it.
So they've got to be so grateful that they have someone like you. People just, wow, no one ever recognizes me. I'm just a producer and a madman, you know, and they don't really know what I look like. You know, I've gotten into elevators and people are talking about me and don't know that I'm standing there.
That's fun.
You know,
that's
and
fun.
I love
that's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You are a madman, and that's the best, but that's the best part of you. That, I mean, I'm telling you, Sid, I was so drawn to you the second I met you. Cause I'm like, that's the kind of crazy I think the world needs more than ever. I think you are always looking to make other people feel good and take them on a journey through whatever crazy is going through your head. And I think that's what sustains you in this life is that you are constantly inventing, creating, moving forward, looking for something.
Well, that was my mission. That was really my mission. And I think on your show, I said something that's really important to me, and I'm going to repeat it again because I'm sure there are the whole city is listening at me and you right now. And I'm 10 years old. 10 years old when I started as a street performer, because I saw my first puppet. And, you know, there's a great story because I went to my dad and I said, hey, I saw a puppet in the first Superman comic book, and I just saw my first puppet. I never saw a marionette before. I thought it was a little person, you know, when I saw it. And I said, oh, can I get that? It's only $3.95. And my dad, you know, he never, ever hit me, but he was close. He said, $3.95 is going to feed your family for weeks, a month. You know, he said, and you're a boy and you want a dolly? You know,
right.
Furious right. with me. Right. And so there was an ad. If you sent away for a box of 100 Christmas cards and sold them for 50 cents, you could keep a nickel. So I'm 10. I send away, but I ran down. We lived on the fourth floor or something every day to watch the mailman come with my Christmas cards. After school, I used to go and, you know, they didn't know, you know, my family didn't know. In those days, you know, everything was so safe. They didn't know where I was, and right. They didn't care. I would always come home late. You know, thought I was playing with other kids or something. I was selling my Christmas cards. You know, saving up my $3.95. Okay, I get my puppet. It took months and months and months, you know, because it's July and I'm selling Christmas cards.
Yeah, by the way, you had to sell 80 Christmas cards at a nickel each to get to that $4. And
yeah, well, see, I'm not good at math, so thank God.
But
know,
a little kid showing up at your door in July.
You're mine. Okay, but
this is, I want to point out to the people, this is post-Depression. This is 1939 now, if you're 10 years old. This is just...
No, it was 1940.
I
was just turning 10, yeah.
Okay, well, you were
I was really nine, so, because in 1939,
right.
I saw my first movie.
Right, okay.
You know, The Wizard of Oz. And, of course, that influenced the hell out of me. What is H.R. Puff and stuff? Instead of a little girl, it's a boy.
Right.
You know, and instead of a dog, it's a flute,
Well, here, I interrupted you. Let me go back to your story then and let you, because I do want you to finish. I just wanted to, sometimes I feel like I really want to illustrate to people, like when you're talking, I go, hey, you guys understand the Great Depression went 29 to 39. It's 40. Okay, so you're just barely out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, no. It was still going.
Walking around selling goddamn Christmas cards in July, which nobody wants, at a time when nobody had any money.
Yeah, but 50 cents for 100. They all had glitter. Yeah. And they were embossed. Yeah, go ahead.
But you're out there and you don't give up. You keep doing it because in your heart you want this goddamn puppet. And your dad, you know, I understand it. He was, you know why he was mad, because he didn't have any money and he couldn't provide for his kid.
No, no. And I was mad. When he found out, after I got my puppet, then I made it. Hot shit full of money. You know, because I was out in the street with my self-taught, my one little marionette.
That's right.
And my little Victrola that a couple that lived upstairs gave me for Christmas. It was a used, you cranked it up and you prayed that the whole record would make it before you had to crank it again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, and I'm out in the street. Now I'm bringing home 50 cents, 35 cents a day, you know, because I came from a real poor family and my dad caught on and he became my manager. Yeah. Can you believe it? You know, so that's how my career started. But what I was really getting to, and I don't want to lose, I think it's really important, you know, because I do a lot of lectures at theater arts department, and they're just for kids, but they don't want to know, you know, how rich or how great you, all the movies or whatever that you made or television shows. They want to know, how did you get there?
That's right. Me too.
Because that's where I am right now.
Yeah.
How did it all this happen? And as a little kid, I knew, because we all want to make some kind of a statement in our lives, even if it's 15 minutes of fame, you know,
sure,
whatever it is, that's what we work for. And and I thought, you know what, I'm going to take the chance. I'm going to go left because everybody goes right and they just are so frightened when they get an idea. They just, it's a great idea to them, but they don't take the chance because they got to support themselves or the family, and they just play it easy, and I never did. No. And I failed. I failed many times. But you know what? You learn more from failure than you do from success.
Fact.
Because, you know, you get plugged into the wall and you start to get real warm inside. And, you know, and I never allowed it to take over. But I thought, okay, something's wrong here. As a performer, the audience will tell you immediately, you know, I like what you're doing, or get the hell off.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
I learned that too, you know, because in the old vaudeville days, the stage manager had a hook, and he would just pull you right off stage by the neck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
because the audience would boo.
Yeah.
You know?
And
that's the way it was.
You went with Judy Garland, right? Like, she took you. You were out performing
Judy Garland. I mean, it's almost a joke, because on my live show, every time I mention her name, everybody takes a shot. Because so I get the country or the world pissed drunk, and it's my fault. But she chose me, a puppet act. She was going on her first national tour in America, and we did go to England too, played the Palladium, but I was her opening act.
Crazy.
And we opened in Vegas. Vegas was like five hotels. It was all total, 100% mafia.
Of course.
Those guys coming in with their, you know, made-up girlfriends and blonde hair, they're not going to sit there and watch a friggin' puppet act.
Right.
But boy, I became a sensation because it was something, I went left, it was something that nobody saw before, you know, and my music, every orchestra or band wanted to play my music because it, Henry Mancini's arranger wrote the music for my act. I played the Hollywood Bowl
one night with a puppet act. It's so
puppet
good.
At the
so
Hollywood, good. 16,000 people. And my marionettes were only a little less than 3 feet tall.
Yeah,
and they didn't have screens on the side in those days. But, you know, if you put a spotlight on a marionette, it becomes a human.
Right.
You know,
right.
After a half a minute or a minute.
Well, it's...
So, and I'm not leaving you an inch to even talk. What's wrong with me? You know, because I've got much to say.
I know, but and I have so many questions.
Well, do it. Throw it out. This is also great for me. You know, I love, on my Instagram, I stay on a whole hour. You know, and I go over sometimes with a lot of huge stars because they always say to me, can we come back? They don't expect, you know, to, I like my shows to be, have a little humor to it. And I appeal to all kinds of people, you know. And, you know, two kids came, 15 years old. I was just in, where were we? Denver. No. Boston. Oh, wait, yeah. Well, I just did Boston. I don't do many of these things. And, oh, Jesus, that's a big trip for me, you know. But, oh, my God, it was the most fun. Because people are so sincere,
yes,
you know, and they start adults.
Well, it's because
you're
real.
You know, there's a tear in their eye because what it meant to them when they were a kid. And, you know,
well, but Sid, it's more.
Please.
It's because we also root for the good guys. We root for the people whose hearts are still clear, and you're still an imagination. You're still a creator. Let me go back to Vegas. How old are you when you started the tour with Judy Garland? How old
with
are you?
Judy Garland? It was 1957. Since you're so good with math, because I quit school when I was 15 to go with the circus.
So you were 28.
I was 20. Wow. And I always looked like I, when I was a kid, I looked like I was 11 or something.
Yeah. But
you know,
Vegas.
Because everybody would ask me for my ID. And there I was 28.
But
go ahead.
So with the mob, with Vegas, five hotels, this is the land of Bugsy Siegel.
Yeah, the Flamingo.
Yes.
That was the big
yes.
mob.
So when you walk in there, even though you're a puppeteer, and now I'm trying to transition from child puppeteer to adult, right? Like, I mean, there had to be some shenanigans and fun. Like, that was a day of burlesque and shows, and I mean, it was...
I was in it. I was in burlesque.
Yes.
That's what... People all ask me, where do you get all your ideas from? Shit, I've done it every part of show business.
Yeah.
You know, television, movies, live shows. I've experienced so much. You know, I also worked for a company called Magic Leap, and that was like a technical, you know, I didn't know what the hell they were trying to do, but I caught on quickly, you know, just creating some original characters for them. And it was so much fun, you know. I'm curious. I'm the guy that looks under the rug.
That's right. That's right.
I'm so curious about everything.
Me too.
Have I gone over on time?
No, who, you and I? No, listen.
Yeah.
I got to work for a while. Listen, when we got to wrap it up, I'll wrap it up. But don't you ever worry
about
that.
Okay, you let me know because, you know, Kelly, I love Kelly.
Tell
Kelly's
Kelly
the
hello.
One, and you met Kelly
yes.
in Kansas City.
Yes, yes.
She's not only my producer of my, you know, Instagram lot, but when we got back from the star on the Walk of Fame, because Kelly is, I don't even have a title. She's the most brilliant. Everybody needs to have a Kelly.
Everyone needs
and
a
so Kelly. Just her name, you know, is intriguing.
Uh.
and And so Kelly said to me, "You got it. You've got so many incredible stories. Talk about James Dean and Liberace and, you know, and Marilyn Monroe. Ed, you just mention a star, and I'm going to tell you a story."
So,
you know,
I want to know about Garland. Sorry, let me interrupt you, Sid, because
I know.
But every time, interrupt me. So you and Judy Garland, she was only about 8 or 9 years older than you. Was there ever anything that like you do feel any feelings towards her because she was this beautiful starlet?
Oh God, I toured with her over a year and a half, but it wasn't every week. You know, we went on and off. The last engagement I had with her was at the Fontainebleau in Miami, and hey, we played the Greek Theater. Listen to this, the Greek Theater here. I don't know how many people they seat. But, you know, it's an outdoor theater. No one to this day has played there more than two nights. Neil Diamond, you name it, you know, in the height of his career, 2 days. Judy Garland played there for two solid weeks.
Nice.
Sold out. We were always sold out. Boy, when she gave you a show, you never saw anything like it. And I was the opening act, so I would just stand in the wings and watch her. And she would stand in the wings and watch me because I drove her crazy. Because a marionette, it takes one beat for the string to take. You know, you pull the string and it takes a beat.
Right,
so
right.
I'm off, you know. I'm off kilter, and it drove her crazy.
That's,
you know,
great.
And I'm not in a stage. I worked right on the floor in black in the spotlight, you know, so you could sort of see a little bit of my hands and all the strings working. My act was so technical. It was, you know, and I always prayed that everything was going to work, but I didn't know. Like magicians, you know, it's generation from generation, even puppeteers. I didn't even know a puppeteer.
Well, that's what made you so great.
And it was good.
That's what made you great. It's just like television. Yeah.
The networks used to say, "Are you watching your competition?" I said, "Why?
Nope.
Why do you want me to watch that?" You know, well, you know, because you need to know what your competition. I said, "Are we number one?" Okay, so I'm not going to watch it. I don't want it.
That's right. Listen, you were great because you didn't know any better. That's it. Had they tainted you, had some, and listen, we fight with this in radio too, Sid, in my early days where there'd be a program director who'd want to tell you how to do it, and you just always knew, I think I'm just going to do what we feel like doing, and if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. But it's my own sword and I'll die on it, but just, I can't, you know. But look
who you are. Kansas City, again, I'm going to say, they are so lucky to have someone like you, because I've been around. I've been around since Lincoln was the president. I've done it all, you know, and I've done so many things in this business, and I'm telling you that when I walked into your building, there was some kind of an incredible feeling. You know, and it was early in the morning, and it was 2 hours later. I just got in, you know, from L.A., and, you know, and I was really exhausted. But, boy, you just put a spark that brought me to life. And I was sorry that I had to leave, because I did three other shows and they were crap. You know, they were two minutes. And they didn't even know who I was. You know, they were talking about, you know, I had to educate them on air.
And that sucks. That's awful. Hey, but the problem is people aren't curious anymore, Sid. And you touched on that. And that's been my thing my entire life. Like, I think that's what I see in you that I love so much, is that being curious about this world, how does it work? Where did it come from? How is this going? Why is this way?
To this day.
Yes, it's the key.
And you're like that. I could feel that. You know, nobody can pull a wool over my eyes, that saying, because I study everybody. You know, I really do, because that's what got me there. I'm so damn curious about everything on this planet, you know?
Yeah, no, you see things. You see real. And I think you're a real... People throw the term empath around, but I think you really are an empath. I think you see...
No, real. I'm not. I keep telling you. No, come on.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you, sir. You. By the way, hey, forget. Just, I heard him earlier.
It's absolutely crazy, you know? And everybody for years and years and years said, are you on drugs?
And, you know, maybe.
And I always said, are you kidding? No, no. I mean, I don't like drugs. I like to use my, you know, what God gave me you know, pumping it up with a drug. I know the Indians were great smoking a little pot.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
You know, but a couple of years ago at Comic-Con, in San Diego.
Yes.
I walked out, and I always think, no one's going to be there, you know. And we do our 45 minutes, or I think an hour, and do a Q&A. And I walked out, and Marty, of course, was sort of sitting behind me when I spoke in the mic. And I was the first one to speak. I said, you know, I know you hear the same thing every year. Why do you even come? I want to tell you something different. And I could hear Marty go, what's he going to say? And so, because we did kid shows. And I said, you know, I want to know something. You've asked me this for years, and I have to confess to all of you. And everybody sat forward, the whole audience, you know, wondering what the hell I was. They always wonder what I'm going to say, because I just say what comes from my heart. And so I said, you know, if three presidents said they did not inhale, I did. Holy shit. Wouldn't believe what happened.
Standing ovation, I believe.
Can I bow?
Yes.
Can I bow?
Yes. You. But that's
it. I love your staff. Now, there's a better word for them. I mean, they were the best audience while I was there, you know, and listening to every word. And when they walked me out, you know, oh, my God.
No, listen, everybody fell in love with you.
That I will always remember.
Now, you're the best.
Honestly, Johnny.
No, listen, I will do your show anytime. You're always welcome.
You better.
Hey, how's your bird? I wanted to know. I heard him squawk early. Was it Harley? Is that the name?
No.
That was your earlier
Harley.
Bird.
Harley. Is he up?
No. You're. I heard your bird squawk in the background.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, he's up. Yeah, no, he's waiting for me. And, you know, and then he'll say, Sid, yeah, or he'll say his name.
Yeah.
And he knows my name, and he always tells me, I love you.
Yeah.
You know.
You love.
He's been with me 34 years.
Let me see. Is it African gray?
Yeah. They're the smartest.
I remember.
You know, they're not like a Pollywanna cracker. That's not him. He has sentences, and he looks at right into my eyes,
yes.
You know.
Yep.
And he follows me around all day. So it's hard for me to go out of town.
Sure,
but
sure.
I'm going to, where am I going? To Raleigh? God, what? North Carolina. In a week and a half, or near the end of the month, right before my birthday. And everybody, when you're going to watch my show,
yep.
Every day for this whole month, I'm having like a drawing, and everybody's names in a hat. But just the subscribers, because 51,000 people, that would be impossible, you know. And I think, I don't know, it's $4 a month or something like that. And I'm going to give a treasure away to everybody.
That's great.
That wins. And at the end of the month, everybody gets something, all the subscribers get something really, really special that I will autograph.
Oh, Sid Croft,
yeah,
by the way.
You know.
SidKrofft on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Two Fs.
Two Fs.
You know who gave me that name? My first agent in the Brill Building in New York in 1945. My first, he was like a two-bit agent.
Yeah.
And I auditioned with my Victrola in his little tiny office. He just had a phone and a pencil and a pad, and there were three pictures hanging on his wall. And he said, that's cool, you know, but I can't sell a puppet act. Don't ever say puppet act. And I'm, okay, 1945, you know, I don't know, how old was I, 15?
Yeah, 14? 16.
Yeah, I'm 14 years old, and I don't know where the hell I found it from. And I said, what about the unusual artistry of Sid Croft? Those are big words. And then he gave me my name.
That's great.
Croft, K-R-O-F-T. I said, it's not big enough. I need two F's.
That's great. Are you Greek? Was it Mashapopoulos?
No, that was all manufactured.
Was it?
My mom and dad came from exactly where the war is right now. My dad came
Ukraine.
From Kyiv. My mom was, she was 22 years old when she met him. And I thought my mom was Greek.
Right.
Because of her name.
Right.
Yola.
Yep.
And she wasn't. She was Russian. And they ran away in the Russian Revolution, you know, with nothing. And they had no papers, no money, and they couldn't get on a boat to America. But they finally got on a boat to Canada. That's how, where I was born. But they ran away in 1923. And I knew it was so bizarre. My family never talked about, you know, anything like, you know, what my dad did for a living. It was just like, it was all a secret. And we just found out a few years ago, you know, working on spitting in that tube,
yeah.
You know. Me and, what is it called,
23 and me, yeah.
And, oh, my God, I found out so much from that about, you know, because my dad traveled with me, and I always tried to get stories out of him. And he just, because they were almost killed, and my mom was pregnant, not with me, and they ran to Romania. You know, and because they killed, same that's happening there now.
Yes.
Millions of people.
Yes. Yep.
You know, and it's like, God.
No, it we do it over and over again, don't we? We repeat history over and over again.
Yes, we do. And it's so bizarre to me. I don't want to get in. I'm not into politics. I just always want.
You're a humanist.
The best person to win and take care of all of us.
And, yes, of course. And 'cause we're humanists, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh, I've experienced so much in my life. It's amazing. It's really amazing.
I got to tell you.
And
I just,
like I said earlier, I'm so grateful to wake up every day, even if it's 6:45 in the morning. And I didn't sleep. You know why I didn't sleep last night? Honest. This is.
I thought you were kidding.
We're honest. I was thinking about. I was so excited about coming on your show. I was thinking about how excited I was after I did your show. And once again, you came to see me. You know, I was pissed because everyone recognized you there.
Shut it.
And gathered around you like one of the big celebrities
of
all
time.
You're
so full of S.
You know, and I sat in my, I had a cart, didn't I?
So full of it. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes. But you're so full of it. You trust me.
I'm not full of it? Yeah, for sure. but I got to tell you, no. If you get to know me, you know, it's like I say what I think, and I've always done that. I get in trouble, but I don't care. You know, I'm not going to kiss anybody's butt, and
yeah,
I never did. You know, the heads of the networks and all that stuff, I used to deal with all of that, you know. And, they'd call me in the middle of the night, always, on all the shows, because there was practices and standards. And you couldn't say, we did a show called Lidsville, and it's all hats, a land of hats. Everybody loves hats.
Sure.
And how I came up with that idea, we're not going to get into it. Just tune in my show.
So Sunday.
I talk about everything, you know. And this week, I'm having Crofty on, that fan. And so maybe we'll sort of start from the beginning. But you know what I failed to tell you? When my dad said, you're a boy and you want a dolly, in 1955, I wasn't asked. Somebody fell out. I'm in London in a big show for 6 months in London. And it was Sunday. And that was our day off. And I suddenly get a phone call from the producer. The Queen, she was very young in 55. Queen had a charity, a night of 100 stars at the Palladium. And they said, somebody fell out, and can you fill in? Because it was 100 stars.
Right.
Yeah. I said, oh, my God. I'm going to do a command performance for the Queen.
Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's a five-hour show because it's 100 stars. But you only could do two, 3 minutes. Then she comes backstage, and there's a lady in waiting. I need her. And, you know, the lady in waiting, because I'm so bad with names. And she tells her who everybody is, right? And so she comes, gets to me, and she says, oh, what cute little dollies. And I almost gave her the finger. So this wouldn't have happened. I'd still be in the Tower of whatever.
You'd be in the dungeon for sure.
Shackle.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, Sid, I love you, brother. I just so much.
I love you, too. And everybody that's there, you know, in your studio, thank you so much. And Jake.
Yes.
I talked to Jake this
morning. He's the best.
Yeah. Thank you, because he was the first to answer. And I'm thrilled. And thank
always.
You for waking me up.
Thank you, you, sir.
Now I'm going to give you the finger.
Listen, I hope they bring you back for Comic-Con again for 2024, 25.
No, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah. Yes, no, they will.
Wouldn't they?
And listen, we're going to run in. I'll do the show anytime you need someone to come in.
Okay.
I'll jump on it.
You know what? I recorded that.
Hey,
just that statement,
yes.
And I hope you have a good lawyer, because if you don't do it, you're going to be in big, big trouble.
I love you, brother.
Because I have a really good lawyer.
Hey, listen, okay. Your birthday's okay. Coming up. What day's your birthday, by the way, Sid?
July 30th. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be 95 years old, and I don't know. It's just like, my mind, well, you can sort of hear it.
Listen, I'm great.
I'm not feeble.
No.
You know, I don't have a walker yet or anything like that. And I don't know. I asked a famous doctor here in L.A., how come I'm still alive? Could you answer that, please? You know, at 95.
I will tell you.
Okay, I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to shut up for a second. We always love compliments, you know.
Yes.
Judy Garland had a party after the Greek Theater in her backyard, and I got an invite plus one, and I thought, I'm not going to bring anybody, because I want every star in Hollywood's going to be there, and I want to hear them all say, Oh, God, I saw you at the Greek Theater. I saw you in the Bay. How fabulous great. You are. You know, we love compliments.
Yes.
You know, that'll never end.
No.
You know, we love to hear everybody's opinion. I do.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, and we all do.
Because you like to make people feel good. But I'll tell you, my theory on why you are so together and you're still here is because you never stop living, Sid.
I never shut the fuck up. I know. And I never thought, when Kelly said, you got to do Instagram, I said, no, let's do a test first. I want to see. Yeah. I hate what I look like. I hate what I sound like. You know, I don't want to hear my voice. And so we did a test. Hello. I am Sid Cross. It was hideous. It was so. Yo. And I said, "Nah."
You're great.
And then I did it again, and she put it on. I said, "How many people watch that?" She said, "I don't know, five or something." I said, "F*** this shit. I'm not doing it again."
Hey, Sid, you know we're still on the radio. We got to watch the words a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Hey, listen, you're still here because you're supposed to be.
I'm sorry, everybody.
You are wonderful.
Using that word.
Oh, listen, it's not the audience. It's the FCC. Yeah. But
Oh my God, I got you fired?
No. We got to do
Oh, my God. I hope I do go down in history. Yeah. Okay.
Listen.
Thank you.
I really love you, and you are such an incredible human being. And I just every time you're on the show, it's just incredible. I'll do you anytime you want to come by here.
Let's do it. I'll just tell you the weather. Let's come on every week.
Come on.
Have me on at the end of the show. I do get up around 6 o'clock anyway. But I didn't sleep last night.
Listen, you get some rest.
Okay,
love you,
I'm going to zip my mouth. I'm going to take in one more compliment. And I guess you're knocking me off.
Listen, let me tell you this. You wear your legend well. You are the example
in my mind.
You're the example in my mind of a life well lived. You're curious, you're good, you're thoughtful, you want the best for others, you like to make people feel good, and I think that's the key to happiness. I think you have gratitude for everything that's come your way, and I think you're a shining example of how you get to where you want to go and stay yourself.
That's right.
I mean that.
And go left every goddamn time. Yeah, please.
Yeah.
It worked for me.
Yes, sir.
And that's the reason I want you to hear my stories, because maybe you can use something for your own journey, whatever you want to be when you grow up. You know, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
You are the great, the legendary Sid Cross.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Stay right
and,
there.
Everybody have a beautiful, beautiful day. It's almost the weekend. And Sundays with Sid, 3 o'clock Pacific. And what is it? 5 o'clock.
That's right.
Because you're 2 hours earlier.
That's right.
It's 5 o'clock. Tune in. I mean, I'm not on an ego trip. It's a blast for me. And it is for the listeners.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yep.
And I come on live every single night.
Sunday, 5 o'clock.
Every single night this month.
Oh.
You know, just to pull out of my hat, you know, the winner of the day.
Excellent. Listen, Sid.
It's all for my birthday. I never celebrate. I think every day is your birthday. You know what I mean?
Hey, so, listen. Yes.
Just to wake up. Okay, I love you.
I love you too.
And thank you again. And to be continued, okay?
To be continued, my friend. Stay right there. Hold on. Stay there. Hold on. I love him.
Top to bottom. What a good heart.
Hey, listen, if I didn't have to get off because there's some commercials I have to play, I wouldn't even have ever cut it. I hope you guys listening love it. But just you guys listening, Sid Croft was born in 1929. He's performed for royalty with a puppet. He came out of a time, he was born during the Great Depression. His parents were immigrants. When he said go left, Dude, he really did. He just went, I don't know, I feel pretty crazy. And he created something that changed the world, the entertainment world. And he never lost that sense of creativity and curiosity. And I will tell you, I don't think there's anything in this world more important to me. And I just think he's one of the true greats, man. And I love that old guy. Go follow him. If you have an Instagram account, SIDKROFFT, KROFFT, man, it makes him feel good. Sid Croft, KROFFT. We'll put it up on all our social media. But for real, if you have an Instagram account, please, for real, go follow him. It makes him feel great. 94, getting ready to turn 95. And the guy loves nothing more than interacting with people, man. So let me take a break.